What started in 1956 is an effort to try and bring a shattered and divided Europe together around a song contest has since swelled into the most watched live non-sporting event in the world. It's Eurovision, and the grand finale of Kitsch is tonight in Denmark. With tensions high between Russia and Ukraine, Europe is again rife with divisions this year. Pyrotechnics and outrageous costumes may not be the solution. On the other hand, maybe they won't hurt. We sent Sitzel Overgaard to find out.
Since Ukraine is the word of the day, we'll start there. TikTok is kind of classic as Eurovision entries go. There's the catchy chorus, a wind machine, and a backup dancer inexplicably spinning around in a giant hamster wheel. Eurovision fan Renee Carolyn has come to watch the semifinals on a big screen set up along Copenhagen's famous walking street. For her, all these stage antics add up to one thing.
Drinking games.
Her husband, Mark Vandenberg, explains.
Every time there's a key change, you do drink. And every time there's a wind machine, you do drink. And every time there is someone dressed in white, you do drink.
This year, they've had the wind machine on and they haven't turned it off. So we've been drinking the whole time.
Yeah. Too bad.
These two are here all the way from Australia, but they're watching alongside an enthusiastic crowd of Brits, Hungarians, Irishmen, and Norwegians, many of them draped in flags.
This is going to sound so cliche, but it does transcend politics, and it is one of those things where you look around and you see the flags on the screens.
Which is nice, except it doesn't actually transcend politics.
Second World War, Cold War, it's all there, and you can see it through the Eurovision.
Gad Yair, a sociologist from Israel, describes himself as the founding father of Eurovision studies, an interdisciplinary field that's the subject of a conference at the University of Copenhagen this week. In Eurovision, countries award each other points based partly on audience voting. That makes for a lot of data, and almost 20 years ago, Yair became one of the first people to crunch the numbers. What he found was a few distinct voting blocks, countries that tend to support or reject each other year after year. For example, the Nordic bloc, who all vote for each other, but don't always play nice with the Mediterranean countries.
And I think that through the Eurovision, you actually get a seismograph, a cultural seismograph, for deeper forces which lurk. This is not silly stuff.
One of the big things in this year's contest is Russia-Ukraine. This is the first major international event where that relationship is tested.
Karen Fricker is co-editor of a book on Eurovision. She says when Russia's young singing twins performed during the semifinals, they were fairly well received. But when the hosts announced that Russia had made it through to the finals, the crowd erupted in booing.
I've been going to the contest for 10 years and I've never heard anything like that. But I think it was both a comment on Russia's current aggressive position towards Ukraine, and also because this is a contest very much favored by gay people, by LGBTQ people, Russia's hardline stance against homosexuality has also been something that has been very much talked about this year.
Given all the political intrigue and cultural commentary, it's easy to forget that Eurovision is just a song contest. But does anyone actually care about the music?
I've listened to all the 37 songs a few times. And
is that ever painful?
Yes, the 30 of them is.
But this is Peter Rasmussen's job. He's a bookie, and for 16 years, he's been single-handedly trying to pick the winners of Eurovision, with around $1 million riding on his odds.
I will say I have done my job very good the last years.
And Rasmussen says while politics play a part, his predictions really are based mostly on the music. This year, he's betting on Sweden, which those drinking game Aussies will like since it includes a key change, though no wind machine. For NPR News, I'm Sissel Overgaard in Copenhagen.